Hi, this is the Glencairn Capturing the Spirit podcast, celebrating the 40th birthday of Glencairn Crystal Studio. Hi, this is the Glencairn Capturing the Spirit podcast. This podcast celebrates Glencairn Crystal Studio's 40th anniversary. Glencairn was formed in 1981 by Raymond Davison and is now run by his sons Paul and Scott. Glencairn are celebrating four decades in business by looking at their most memorable work in the company of their customers, friends and partners. This week, we are joined by Stuart Urquhart, the Operations Director for Gordon MacPhail, the world's leading single malt Scotch whisky specialist, which has been bottling single malt whiskies for over 120 years. Stuart is from the fourth generation of the Urquhart family who own Gordon and MacPhail, and amongst many other roles, he is the custodian of the company's unrivaled liquid library, which includes some of the oldest and rarest single malt Scotch whiskies in the world. This week, we want to talk about Gordon MacPhail's Generations 2021 range, the oldest single malt Scotch ever bottled. Hello, Stuart.
Hello. How are you?
Good, good. How are things?
I'm very good. Working hard, working with great partners such as Glencairn and producing hopefully well-received products.
That's brilliant. Well, just to kick us off, just to give the listeners a bit of background on yourself and your career, can you just give us a wee bit of an overview if that's possible?
So I joined Gordon MacPhail back in 2008 full-time as a family business. I had worked previously for summer jobs in the warehousing teams, but I joined as part of my career in 2008 and I went on to what was our management training program, where I spent 2 years working every part of the business, getting to know it and learn different parts of business and industry. After completing that program, I moved into a production role working in the sample room, so working with cask samples, and being able to choose casks that were going for bottling. And over the years, my role's grown. And in 2019, I joined the board of directors as operations director, looking after all our production operations, as well as still looking after our casks and spirit quality.
Yeah. It's not a bad world to be in, though, the whiskey world, is it?
It's a great industry. Everyone works as friends, and it's... It's an industry I'm privileged to be part of.
That's brilliant. Well, we're actually going to talk about Generations 2021. So what I was going to do was just, can you give a little information on the background to it? Just to give the listeners some idea of where it came from, where the idea came from, and the background to the whisky itself.
So we're very fortunate that we have a range of greatly aged single malts maturing in our warehouses in Elgin and Forres. So we routinely monitor them and check them for quality, check them for how they're progressing, and we have whiskies that go back still to the 1940s. So 10 years or so, we released our first generations in a teardrop decanter, which was with Glencairn, and that was the first sort of ultra-premium product that we really focused on. At 75 years old, we did another single cask, and that was pushing the boundaries of aging. But we still had more casks coming through that we're still monitoring. So we decided that we would like to do an 80-year-old, and we worked around how to make sure the whiskey was the right quality, but also how do we present that as a product. So we started working with various partners to see what was possible. And as an ongoing, how do we push the boundaries of great packaging and great whiskey and pushing age to a new level.
And how do you care for something for that length of time and keep it special?
We're lucky that our warehouses have been proven to be really good for greatly aging single malts, but we do monitor it routinely. So in the sample room, we routinely look at all our old casks on our rolling program to make sure that they are still the right quality, they are still progressing in the direction we want, and they're not past their peak.
Yep. So I have this vision of a corner of the warehouse which has these old casks sitting there that have been sitting forever and a day in the corner. And I just think there's something magical about the fact that for, 80 years, it's just been sitting, resting, waiting.
Yeah, the quality of casks that we've been using for over 100 years and working with partners in Jerez and Spain for sherry casks is part of why we're successful in greatly aging. We invest in the quality of the wood, which allows the spirit to have its the best environment for maturation. We always look at storing our old casks, not in a corner, but always at ground level to make sure that we get the lowest possible temperature. We also store them in full warehouses as well, because we believe the fuller the warehouse is, the better for long-term aging because they all work together to maintain a cooler atmosphere. If it was one cask by itself in a room, it'd be have much greater fluctuations in temperature, which would put it at risk and change its long-term maturation. By having it on ground floor in a full racked warehouse, we find we can really push the boundaries of greatly aging single malts.
And then also, I would suspect that the angel share in such a big warehouse, there must be some aroma when you actually walk into it in the first place.
It's an environment where you know you're in a warehouse, and the smell is, you don't get used to it, but you always know it's there.
And the theme for Generations 2021 is artistry in oak. Where did that come from as a theme?
So 80 as an anniversary is oak. So you get your diamond, golden jubilees, etc. And 80 is oak, so is the material associated with that. So it just lined up perfectly. So artistry in oak and 80 years old seemed to work well together. And we looked at how we could bring the two concepts together, working with, in this case, with yourselves for the decanter and Sir David Agee for the sort of the overall design of the presentation.
Yep, okay. I'll come back to him a bit later, but just one of the questions, how much of the whiskey was there? How much was there to work with?
So we're fortunate that the cask has yielded over 250 units bottles, and 250 will be released for sale. And there's a few other ones that have been kept around for our archives. But as a cask, as a sherry butt, we'd expect between 250 to 300 bottles, and it lived up to that.
Yep. And I know Charlie McLean recently called it truly one of the finest I've ever encountered. Can you describe the nose and the flavour a bit for the listeners?
So with this whiskey, it still retains some of the Glenlivet character. So it's got a mixture of, there is an element of wood, but it's quite subtle. Speyside whiskies from the 1940s still had a small element of smoke based on direct fire. The production process they had in the maltings, the fact most of the series still malted some of their own barley at the time. So there's not subtle smokiness we expect from this period of Speyside. You get a wee bit of smoke. For me, it's a big hit of orange marmalade. That's kind of the dominant aroma. But then on the palate, you get that wee bit of orange still, but cherries and this lingering kind of smokiness. But it's got a really thick coating mouthfeel, which kind of gives you that depth of what you expect from something of that age. But it's still vibrant, and that's what's kind of surprising. It's got that, you can tell it's old, but it still has an element of useful aromas and flavours coming through. And it's just perfectly balanced.
Yep. You're making me thirsty just talking about it. But when you decided to bottle it, it's such a rare spirit. I mean, it really is such a, on the planet is such a rare spirit. What was your vision for what it would look like? What was the vision for the actual product, the launch, the bottle, everything that went around it?
So as a team, so the brand team, commercial team, and my production teams, we all kind of worked through what ideas we could do to make it special. What was the way to present it in a way that was challenging but exciting, to move it on from just being a bottle liquid, an exceptional liquid, but a bottle liquid. So working with something that would be a new way of looking at design. So working with Sir David Agee as a building architect and using some of those ideas and building that into the product itself was new, it was challenging, and it was something that took a long time to actually work through all the different parameters and the elements of packaging which are difficult. As Scott tells me routinely, is a decanter is everyone's unique. So when you're working with a precision and an architect and hand-blown crystal decanters, it's a challenge to align them together, but we got there in the end, and what we produced we think is exceptional, but it's down to working with partners to get there.
And how did you actually get, how did you start the relationship with Sir David?
We had an idea of working with someone like Sir David, and we just approached various people, and the alignment with Sir David was the right fit for the project, and he was interested. His work, what we could see, was fantastic and exceptional. So it just was a perfect partnership.
And why did you select Glencairn to actually create the decanter?
It's from our relationship and trust is complex, and the skill sets of Glencairn are fairly unique. It's the added value of the decoration and the technical design. It's something that we rely on as a business, and Glencairn have been a company we've worked with for decades, and they've always delivered, and we were confident to do so again for this one.
I think it's fair to say, if I talk to Scott Davidson, this is probably one of the most technically challenging decanters I think that the company has ever done. Or it, so it would seem with the swear words that occasionally come out of the office at times. But it's created, could you just describe the decanter? It's created a beautiful vessel.
Yes, the decanter is a square design, but it's squared with curves. And this is where the challenge came in, is moulding glass and internal surfaces and some design constraints. There's different ways to make things. But trying to find a way which amplified the liquid, allowed light to reflect through it. The box or pavilion, as Sir David calls it, that the decanter sits in, is all about trying to replicate a view through a forest with lenses and a decanter to try and amplify the liquid on the way through. And it's all about sort of how that's, how light interacts. So the decanter itself was really technically challenging. And some of the things we asked for were pushing new boundaries of detail and margin for error. So working with millimeter variances, whereas in hand-blown decanters, that's particularly challenging.
Yeah.
But I can imagine Scott being quite vocal. He didn't hide it very well. Sometimes it was difficult, but it really strengthened the relationship between Glencairn and Gormanfil. We worked through it. We found the right solutions, and some of the decanter detail of how one of the biggest part of the design, which won't be realised by many, is that the vacuity, the headspace in the decanter, is hidden behind the collar. So Sir David, for example, had the idea of making it look like it was completely full, but you can't do that with a liquid that expands. So Scott and the team came up with the idea of creating the space with inside the collar. And that kind of elements of design show the added value of Glencairn and the design team there, thinking about how to achieve a design and coming up with options. And there's elements in the decanter which no one will notice, but they're key to delivering the overall project.
Yep, and I think it's a stunning decanter. It is pushed right at the edges of what's possible, but I have to say, even with from the Glencairn hat on a point of view, it is an amazing decanter. But it's a large undertaking to bottle such a spirit, especially at that age. Were there any surprises along the way?
In terms of the bottling, it was fairly straightforward, putting old whiskey into bottles. It was really around how to bring the whole project together. COVID landed, and that did present challenges, and it did push back the project for many reasons. But ultimately, it just showed great teamwork that we were able to produce boxes, decanters, transit packaging, have it converted and hit the required dates, despite a world that is recovering from vast supply chain challenges, and it all came together. So COVID was a surprise, but through teamwork, we've worked through it, working with the partners.
Yeah. And how did you arrive at the price point for such a rare spirit? How do you even start working out what it might go for?
So we haven't actually released the price point for the product. It goes up for auction, and we're trying to maximise the potential of the auction for charity. But the commercial teams have an idea of what they think it's going to be worth, and in time we'll release what the price is.
Yep. And what was the reaction from the trade and the media?
It's been well received, from extremely positive. It's pushing boundaries, and people are really interested around the world. So working with our sales teams and commercial teams, they are receiving lots of interest, and people are looking at it as what we'd aspired for, which is a piece of art, not just a bottle of whiskey.
Yep. And are there any more on the horizon? You don't have to give away state secrets. That's not what this is about. But is there more cash sitting in the warehouse, I take it?
Yeah, we're fortunate as a business and as a family, and we like holding on. We hoard things. So cash were one of the things we seem to be very good at holding on to for long periods of time. But every year we'll be looking to release greatly aged casks. Some of them will be exceptional projects. Some of them will be sort of younger. But every year there'll always be something coming along which we'll be using to grow the Gormanfil brand. And the key thing is always working with our partners to deliver these kind of projects to make sure that everything's of the right quality.
That's wonderful, Stuart. My last question is, we're celebrating Glencairn, who are 40 years old since Raymond formed the company, and you've worked with them on a number of projects, as you said. What are your thoughts and experiences in just dealing with the company?
It's always a very sort of open and sort of trusting kind of relationship. Every time you ask for help, they always come through. And it's a great partnership. So over the projects we've worked on, it's all about asking questions and getting told the technical reasons why we can't, and then asking again and getting retold. But the key thing is trust. That's the reason why we work with Glencairn. They always deliver the projects that we look for and pull it through to the right standards and quality. And we'll be working with them hopefully for a long time in the future.
Well, that's brilliant, Stuart. Thank you very much for taking part in Capturing the Spirit podcast. It's very kind of you to give our time across in the words. So from our point of view, thanks very much.
Thank you. And it's always a pleasure to work with Glencairn.
Thanks for listening to the Glencairn Capturing the Spirit podcast, celebrating the 40th birthday of Glencairn Crystal Studio.